938 Live wants to let you know in advance about the fantastic guests, new programs and events we have planned. Sign up for the 938 Live e-newsletter and it'll help you plan your listening. Who will be appearing on The Living Room or Body and Soul? What will be the focus of our next community series at the weekend? Where is the health or personal finance seminar the presenters have been talking about? Get the answers delivered straight to your inbox during the first week of the month. Register now for the 938 Live e-newsletter. Log on to 938live.sg now and look for the e-newsletter icon.
Jazzing up your day with a touch of soul. The Living Room on 938 Live.
Hello and welcome back to The Living Room on 938 Live. I'm Mahisha and thank you so much for staying with us in The Living Room. Hope you're comfy. We've got two guests with us in the studios today and they told me during the news break that they'd much rather be known as artists than animators, but they are, you know, very, very established animators. Kyle Balder and Michelle Gagne join us today in The Living Room. Now, Kyle has been in the industry for just over 12 years now and he's worked on big budget films like The Flintstones, The Mask, Mars Attack, and also most recently Toy Story 2. We also have with us in the living room Michelle, who's had an equally illustrious career, having drawn characters, special effects, and conceptualized designs for films like The Iron Giant, The Osmosis Jones, and Star Wars Clone Wars, the TV series. So whilst we have them in the living room, you're welcome to call in and ask them any question you may have about feature animation. 669-11938 is the number to dial. Now, let's talk a little bit about the thrill of working with characters on screen. I wonder how much you know about this character you're going to develop before you start working. I mean, how much are you told about the characters by the scriptwriters and the rest of the film crew or the production crew before you actually get to work on it?
A lot of it depends on the budget of the film and how much time there is for that kind of research.
Uh-huh.
For example, on a Pixar film, there's a lot of opportunity to explore the character before the animation starts. So, like, if you look at Toy Story, for example, Tom Hanks is doing the voice of Woody.
Yeah.
But before we actually do any real footage, any real animation of that's going to be in the film, we'll take the Woody character and we'll take some lines of dialogues from some previous Tom Hanks movies to try to get into the types
into
of characters that he plays. Yeah.
Right. Okay. That's fascinating.
Yeah. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm more of an effects person. I don't really work with characters. I did a bit of character animation when I started with Don Bluth Animation,
mm-hmm.
On An American Tale, The Land Before Time, and All Dogs Go to Heaven. Those are the only three films where I really did character animation. But then I transitioned to special effects animation, where I did things more like explosions and fire and, you know, water effects and all that kind of stuff. And when I work with characters, it's mostly on a conception, at the conception level, where I'm basically brainstorming ideas for the designs and stuff, but usually the voice is not even cast at that point.
Mm.
And we're just trying to define an attitude with the sketches so we can actually move forward into you know, the next level and cast a voice for it and cast an attitude. So I don't know if I'm the right person to answer that question.
No, but I've got a more interesting question to ask you then.
Yep.
Talking about fire and water and, mm-hmm. you know, creating the visual effects for these elements, how do you do that? I mean, how do you create fire then?
All the movies that I've worked on, when I've done these type of effects, I actually animate the effects on animation paper traditionally with a pencil.
Okay.
And once my animation is all done, the drawings are scanned in the computer and then we color them and then we add diffusion filters and stuff and, you know, embellish it with the computer technology. I haven't worked with particle systems and stuff. There's ways of doing fire and all that that kind of stuff using software like particle system.
Uh-huh.
And all
I suppose
that, but
it will be a lot faster.
It would be faster, but it's a bit more generic.
Process, yeah.
It's a bit more generic. And sometimes I have worked with particle system. On some movies, I've actually had people doing particle system, and then I would go back and enhance that with hand-drawn animation on top of the particle system and add elements to kind of break it up so it doesn't look so generic.
Yeah.
I have a very specialized, like, for me, like, you know, a lot of times I'll be called in when people, they don't know how to do it in the computer, and they say, well, Michel can draw it and he can animate it on paper and we'll fit it in the computer and we'll make it work with the computer environment. So I fall into this weird category that's very hard to categorize. But I've made a reputation at that, so people know what I can do, and that's how I've been able to keep making a living at this.
I think it's a really concrete example too about how the traditional artistic skills play a really big part, because things like fire and water, that's and fur and clothing, for example, those are relatively new things in computer animation. And as it's new, there's a lot it's depending on in terms of the technology. And so people, there's a little bit more technically skilled people like writing the systems that create that. Mm-hmm. But there needs to be someone who's an artist to kind of direct what the image looks like.
The proportions and everything.
Exactly,
as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just to elaborate on that, like, for example, sometimes I've been teamed up with people that are very, very computer literate and very good at programming and stuff. And they would say, can you just do it like rough drawings and just show us how it's done, and then we will use that to make it work. And so I would create the template, hand-drawn template of it, and then they would go back and try to make it work with the technology and use my drawing as a guide, essentially. Yes. So.
Interesting how it all comes together. Today we're talking about feature animation, and once again my guests are Carl and Michelle. They have been in the industry for a very long time, and they certainly seem to know the industry inside out. Let's talk about how long it takes then through the process. I was just mentioning earlier that a particular scene in The Incredibles could take, a 4-second scene could take, you know, a week to create. Is that right?
Yeah, that's for the big studios,
okay.
Pixar, DreamWorks. 4 seconds is around the average of what an animator is expected to produce a week.
Mm-hmm.
In some of the smaller studios, a lot of the European studios I've been working with, it's upwards of 12 and a half, 15 seconds a week. So there's a little bit more expected.
Okay.
So that makes the film finish sooner.
Yep.
We just finished a film in 9 months, the animation part, where a Pixar film is like more around like 18 months just for the animation. So you have more time to kind of finesse the animation and to explore the acting choices and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, 4 seconds is really nice if you can, it sounds like not very much, but it gives you a lot of time to explore the scene and the acting and that sort of thing.
Really refine it,
yeah.
I guess, yeah.
And you know, when you say 4 seconds also, you have to understand it's 4 seconds for only a part of the image. It's 4 seconds for the character that is raw, who has no texture, who has no lighting. So there's somebody else that's going to go and do his 4 seconds on top
right.
of that, and then somebody else is going to go and do the special effects on top of that. And
mm-hmm.
so everybody's doing their 4 seconds. But when you say
that's 4 seconds
of film, it's all, you know, there's a lot of people that have done their 4 seconds, so
maybe 40 people have contributed
right.
to that 40
yeah,
seconds.
You know.
Seconds, so.
What's the most laborious part of it all? I mean, what takes the most time in that, you know, production pipeline?
I think the thing that takes the most time, though I wouldn't call it laborious, is the story. Because if the story isn't right and it's not working, you can have the most beautiful images, and after 5 minutes, the audience won't relate to them and they'll get bored.
Mm-hmm.
But the story is what's going to carry them through. So if you look at a lot of the animation films that people are familiar with, if it's from start to finish, if it's taken 4 years to make from the first idea until when it's released in the theater, probably around 3 years of that is story development.
Oh, okay.
You know, and the production is overlapping the story,
right.
but there's a lot that goes into getting that right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I was at Warner Brothers, they actually said the average for a film was it took 7 years to get the story from concept to finished screenplay per movie. That was their average. That was like including live action and stuff. But that's, so this was definitely the part where it was the longest part of the production. Because, you know, it's usually a much smaller team at this point. Sometimes it's just a couple of writers, but it can take years before, you know. I mean, I don't know if that's true, but they said it was 7 years to get a screenplay from start to completion. Like, because,
right.
you know, sometimes, I mean, we would get these screenplays sometimes, and you would look at the front page, and there was like 30 names of writers. It was insane.
Wow.
Like, first draft, second draft, third, and then you have like 23rd draft, and you have this guy. So that's definitely the probably the most...
Takes a whole chunk of time there, right? Let's also talk about the limitations that you faced in your work with CG. I mean, what are things that you just have not been able to do? I've heard that I think it's water that's very hard to create, is that right?
Well, you know, all the water animation I've ever done has been hand-drawn animation. Okay. I've never actually done... we've done actually water. We've mapped CG on top, but we always I always did it traditional. But water, just as a traditional animator, I can say that water is definitely one of the most difficult thing to animate for an animator. They always say, like, I always had to do a water scene in a movie because I would be supervising the department and I would always give the water to other people because I hated it because it's so tough. It was so hard and it wasn't fun.
Right.
And the fun, so I would keep the fun stuff, but I always had to do a couple of water scenes so I could earn the respect of my crew, you know.
Of the rest of them.
Right.
The guys, yeah.
Well, for my part, it's the most difficult thing or frustrating thing is that you can't touch the character, you know. Okay. If you're coming from a hand-drawn animation, then you have direct contact with the character, you're drawing it, you're making the line, you can put it into any pose or shape that you want. If it's stop motion, then you have your hands on a puppet.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's in the computer, then you're communicating with your character behind glass and you're using buttons and stuff like that to manipulate it. So it's not as tactile of an experience.
Right, okay. Very interesting hearing it from, you know, your point of view. If you're just joining us, this is the Living Room on 9th Street Live, and today we're talking about animation in film, an industry that has come such a long, long way, even though movie special effects have been around for pretty much as long as movies themselves, but with the latest in technology, it has definitely been possible to work more magic than ever before. And let's talk about how you work with actors. I know, Michelle, you said you don't usually.
No, I don't work with actors. So.
Right. What about Carl? Have you worked with actors to get that facial movement?
My first experience with that on this last production that we've been doing in France called Dragon Hunters, and
uh-huh.
Forrest Whitaker is doing the main voice for that.
Nice.
And it was a good experience for me because the directors are French, and they asked me to come. I was the animation supervisor, being an English speaker to help with the voice direction. So that was the only real experience I had working directly with the actors. But what we do often is we'll videotape the people doing the voices.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes we use that as reference for the animation. If Forrest does something really interesting, or because, you know, he's in character while he's talking.
Right.
And then we can say, oh, that's kind of cool what he did there with just the way that he looks out of the corner of his eye. And
mm-hmm.
So maybe I'll put that in the character too. And
right.
Yeah, you know, actually I said I don't work with actors. I don't really work with actors, but I remember when I was doing character animation at Bluth, what they would do is, we would animate a little section of the movie, and when we were animating, they would give us these audio cassette uh-huh. of the recording of the voice of the actor, and I would put it in my Walkman and just kind of have it on a loop and just listen to the voice all over and over again and just listen to the sequence and how the delivery to mm-hmm. try to capture that in my animation. So that's kind of my extent working with actors, just listening to the voices over and over again and trying to capture that. So
I'm thinking of our listeners who may want to hear your voices one more time. I know that you'll be speaking at CG Overdrive 2007, which is happening as we speak. I think it ends on the 22nd of June. Let's talk about, you know, some of the things that listeners can find out more about if they come down to the event. I think Carl has yet to speak.
Yeah,
you
I'll be speaking tomorrow at 5:00.
Yeah.
And basically, I'll be talking about the methodology of 3D character animation. So, talking about how to use the tool, how to use the software, not so much in a technical way, but like how do you approach the work so that you can focus on things like the performance and the poses of the character and the more visual and artistic side and not get too bogged down with the tool.
Technical aspects of it. Okay, so let's direct listeners to that website, www.cgoverdrive.com. You can take a look at the website and see which particular talks you want to attend. And of course, Michelle has, his particular segment has passed. It was yesterday, but Carl's is yet to come. It's tomorrow, so check that out. Now, one final question to ask you. The popularity that animation has enjoyed over the years, do you think that there'll ever come a day when we'll just have to do away with fine actors altogether and it will be in your hands to, you know, make a movie in the studio?
I don't believe so.
No. Because script writing is such a huge part.
Well, the thing is that, you know, the synthesizer hasn't replaced the orchestra, so good acting will never be replaced by animation.
I agree.
No. It's just, you know, the thing is that a good actor, you cannot expect an animator to be of the caliber of a Jack Nicholson or, you know, one of those great actors. It's like, you know, there's something there that's just magical that I think, you know.
Also, too, because I think if you take someone like George Clooney, you know, he's a personality that's celebrated, and people want to see a George Clooney movie, you know what I mean? So it's also, you know, even though the technology is getting closer and closer to reproducing live action actors, for me, I just think it's, you know, we already can do it with real people.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's
I'm also wondering what they're going to fill tabloids with. So
right. And the thing is that seriously, to try to replace an actor, it would be so much more time consuming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so much easier to just point a camera and film the performance rather than build it.
We'll have to wait 4 years to watch a movie if that ever happens.
Right.
Thank you so much, Carl and Michelle, for joining me in the living room today. And once again, listeners, you can check out that website, www.cgoverdrive.com. That's a place where you can go to find out more about CG and it's magic. This is the Living Room on 938 Live. We'll have more for you after the news. Stay with me.
938 Live. 938 Live gets you talking.